Hello and welcome to episode number 19 of the official at youtube.com podcast, talking all things YouTube, new album news, tour dates, community discussions from the staff of at YouTube. It's a little different episode this time. We are going to go live of sorts. You know, obviously, you're listening to this later, so it's not live, but when I recorded it with them, it was live from Dublin with Sherry, with Lisseth, with Steve, and with Matt, who's awake for part of it. Otherwise, he's, of course, as you know, sleeping like a baby, recovering from jet lag and all that kind of stuff. So there's a bit of sort of random discussion. It's some Skypey issues, you know, as you might expect with three guests running around a hotel in Dublin trying to find Wi-Fi and stay on Skype. But I think you'll hear some good stuff about what's been going on in Dublin and what they're looking forward to with the final couple shows, rumors of the new tour, all that kind of stuff, and the usual hijinks we get up to on the podcast. Enjoy the show.
Yeah, hey, baby, stand by for a zoo. Radio transmit.
The radio is blind.
How do rock stars smell like?
I definitely see myself acting more as a musician in the future.
What I tend to favor is sandalwood.
Please, we're shutting the location down. There is no vote. It happens now.
No, it's about music, I hope.
Tell me something that you saw today in Dublin, Sherry.
Something that I saw today in Dublin. Let's see here. Went and saw the U2 exhibit over at the little Dublin Museum, which was nice, or the little Museum of Dublin. That was lovely. Then we headed over to the studio and left our mark at the studio. And that's probably something that will fire me for, but he'll have to see it in order to fire me.
Wait, so what, for the folks who are listening live right now, what does that mean to leave your mark?
Oh, well, since Windmill Lane Studio has been demolished and that brickwork is going to be up for auction in a few months, the details haven't been sorted out yet, but there will be an auction of pieces of the wall for from the Wimmel Lane studio where all the YouTube graffiti was. So seeing as that has since gone, fans have begun putting the graffiti on Hanover Key for the length of time that the band will continue to be there, which is, you know, anybody's guess. They were supposed to build what was known as the U2 Tower, and their studio was supposed to be up on the top floor of that, but that project got scrapped. So they're basically buying time with the recording studio on Hanover Quay. So fans have been going and leaving their mark, leaving their notes or you know, well wishes or, you know, I can't believe I'm actually here type of messages. So we were the goodwill ambassadors today to leave a few marks on the wall like everybody else to indicate that we were there and we loved the band and all that stuff. We even did a little tribute to the Dalton brothers, which was really sweet. And if you go to my Twitter feed, I've got some of those pictures up. It's been a very interesting vibe in the city. You know, you've got diehard fans who have come in from all over. And then you've got the local fans. Some of them are just as nutters as we are. But our experience has been very much that they think that Bono's a wanker. Larry's the only true Dubliner in the band. And the other two are just okay, but they're from England, so they're just okay. So, you know, it after all these years of hearing Bono make all these comments about, you know, being, you know, stationed in Ireland, living in Ireland and the atmosphere and how people treat them, he's not over exaggerating. They really can't stand him. At least if those who we've run into around the city, it's like, ah, oh, crikey. Or it's not exactly crikey because I'm not in Australia. It's like, Jesus Christ, I can't believe you came all the way here for him.
Yeah.
Okay. Jesus Christ.
I'm noticing from your pictures, Sherry, there's a bit of a Steve must have been standing on a big pedestal of some sorts in some of them, because there's kind of a height discrepancy.
We were both stood on the same pedestal. I'm 5 foot and he's 6 foot two, like he wrote in his off the record column a couple weeks ago about the height differential. And if folks want to go through my Twitter feed, they can see some of the pictures from Dublin 2 and what it's like to be 5 foot tall at a concert. If you're stood in particular areas within GA, we were fortunate enough to have a front row rail spot in front of Adam. But once the show transitioned over to the East stage, I couldn't see anything. Right. So that's when I decided, hey, it's Meerkat time. And I just pulled up Meerkat on my phone and I had my back to the East stage, and stood in front of me was, none other than Art Fogel, who's the head dude with Live Nation. And he was giving me a look that would just kill anybody. And so I flipped the phone over to show him that I was on Meerkat at least. And he couldn't give a crap about whatever I was doing. He was just staring me down. I'm like, whatever, dude. You know, so be it, Jedi.
What, he was upset with you for what?
Well, I had my back to the band.
Oh, gotcha.
You know, so the entire audience is all facing the E stage.
Yeah.
And I couldn't see anything, and it was uncomfortable for me to be positioned where we were, because we were packed in like sardines in GA.
Yeah,
they really packed us in. So there was not a lot of room for movement. There's no room to really rotate or to do anything like that. So I just gave up the ghost. And I decided, well, I'll have a better view watching Meerkat, crying out loud, because at least they're nice and close to me. So yeah, that was a very interesting experience right there. And then the next song, once again, because I couldn't see back there, I just decided to close my eyes and sort of feel the energy in the room and just try to imagine, because we had one of our staff members there, John Tuohy, who's blind. So, you know, I wanted to sort of step in his shoes and try to, you know, experience what the show would be like in his perspective, where, you know, it doesn't matter how big the screen is, he can't see it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what type of experience would that be? So, you know, I challenged myself to try to enjoy the show from a different point of view throughout the night. And, you know, I did get a few pictures, I did get a few videos, but for the most part, I really tried to put everything away and just be in the moment and be there and just try to make eye contact to acknowledge that, you know, we're here, you're there, and we appreciate you. And on several occasions, Adam acknowledged that, which was really, really nice.
Cool. That was the 24th show?
That was Tuesday night, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Time zones and dates always mess me up, so.
I don't even know time zone and date today. All I know is it's Thursday. That's all I know.
And Lisseth, you're on the call too, right? Did you get through?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. That sounds great.
Oh, well, that's good to start.
So what, have you been to one of the shows yet?
Yeah, I was there Tuesday. I was going to say yesterday, but it's Tuesday.
Yeah.
So it kind of lose track of time here. So.
And where were you situated for the show?
On Adam's side, a bit to the back on the right, near the main stage, which was a pretty good spot, actually. I thought it would be way too far back, but I had a pretty good view all over. Just only when people were keeping up their phones up a lot, then it got a bit harder to see. But in general, it was pretty good, actually.
Yeah. And this is how many shows in this? You've seen a few, right, on this tour?
On this tour is the fifth.
Fifth, yeah. But how has the Dublin atmosphere been that you've experienced? Is this your first time in Dublin?
No, I was there in 2009 in Croke Park.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, it was pretty great energy, just amazing atmosphere here. So everyone was going wild. It was great. Yeah.
So Fernanda in the chat room asked, do you think the stage is better or worse for the band? Because the stage, as we've seen from pictures, is much smaller, sort of compressed stage set up, obviously, in the What is it called? The O2? No, that's the...
Three Arena.
Three Arena, right. Two or three, four. But yeah, how does the stage feel, do you think, for the band just performing on?
Well, it's a bit strange seeing this, you know, on one hand, the screen is smaller, but it feels big because it's right up. And well, people on the balcony can kind of touch it. It's really so close. Yeah, so it's feels kind of weird. And I think, yeah, it does do something strange with some of the parts. Like when they leave the screen during Even Better Than the Real Thing. Yeah, it's not really much of an event anymore. And yeah, some of the parts, they had to change it. Like during Until the End of the World, when Bono spits his water on Edge. He did it from the main stage this time, which was kind of nice for me because I could see it a lot better now. It was funny. And also when Bono had to duck under the stage, under the screen a couple of times, which just looked really weird. You know, like he had to almost crawl.
Yeah.
not to get hit by it. Yeah. So it's, it's not bad, but it's a bit strange at times. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about for you, Steve? You're still there somewhere. We'll keep checking in audio-wise just to make sure people are around for this episode just because of the distance we're traveling here. But how about for you being on the other end of the height spectrum from Sherry? What was the show like from where you're sitting or standing, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting with the, with the way they have the stage set up. Obviously, they're just trying to make it fit. And from a GA perspective, it doesn't change a huge amount. The only thing it really does is it sort of concentrates where the fans end up going. Having the east stage at the other end of the arena to the main stage actually helped. You know, you had this crowd that were always going to be up at the front. You had this crowd that was always going to be up at the east stage, and the rest sort of migrated throughout the show. Now there's obviously a sweet spot to be, you know, near the east stage in that very small space between the east stage and the main stage. And so that becomes very cramped and crowded. But, you know, I'm actually curious what it was like, up in the stands, because I can't imagine it's as, you know, good of a sight line for everybody as it would have been, just in a regular setup, just because of how close the stage comes to the seats. I mean, the stage is practically touching the seats. They've blocked off, you know, maybe a couple of seats that directly face the edge of the screen. But it's a cramped setting. It's really a challenge.
Because from the photos, it almost, like, I know it's not exactly, but from the photos, it almost looks like this club atmosphere more than stadium or, you know, concert venue type big thing that we're used to seeing with a huge, you know, crowd and you know, long distance sort of photos and stuff. But does it feel like when the band actually starts playing and stuff, does it feel still big? Is there enough room for the sound to sort of go?
The nature of the venue, it's like having a club gig on steroids. That's exactly how it feels. The sound wise, the sound is just as good in Three Arena as it has been in any of their venues that I've seen it in. And that's primarily because of the sound system that they have in there. The difference is the local audience, because there are so few people, you know, there's only about 10,300 that are in there, and up in the seats, they've been hosting so many different groups of people. You've got the Salesforce groups in, they've got some humanitarian groups in. They've been hosting governmental people and people from the United Nations. And, you know, there's suits from Live Nation. There's a lot of suits here. So if you're up in the stands, one of the main complaints that we've been hearing is, you know, there's not a lot of people standing or dancing or having a good time. The party's down in GA. And so from what we've heard from several people, Sam O'Sullivan included, is that a Tuesday show far exceeded Monday's show, you know, and for obvious reasons. I mean, Monday was night one. You had a lot of media there. It was the first night. You don't know how everything's going to jive, how the Irish audience is going to take it. Monday night, they also had the families in from the some of the bombings that had happened in Dublin in the 70s. They had some of the families in, so they were very cautious about how they presented Raised by Wolves and Sunday Bloody Sunday. Monday, the confetti machines that rained the debris down, those did not go off as a courtesy, so that it wouldn't upset people even more than they were already moved and so on. But on Tuesday night, you had all of that going on. So from some of the reports and looking at the set list that was originally printed for Tuesday, they were supposed to close with "I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For." But the audience was so into the show and were singing along and just were into it. At the end of Beautiful Day, before they went into Mother and Child Reunion, Bono and Edge made the audible to switch up the ending to be Bad and 40. That was not designed to be the closer for Tuesday's show. So, you know, they are very much feeling how the audience reaction is, and the sound. I mean, it just felt like it was a club gig on steroids. If you were in that building, you were so lucky. You were just living it. That said, we did have a woman next to us that during October, when all the video from the drone going over Kobani, you know, this is a very solemn moment. This is the temperature switch in the show. All she kept on saying is, "Bono is a fucking rock god. He's a rock god, I tell you. He is a rock god," for the whole of October. And I'm going, are you kidding me? You're ruining the vibe. And the other great thing is, you know, most of the Irish audience who were around us, they haven't been following the tour. So they were genuinely surprised when they went into Until the End of the World. Once again, that was refreshing to have people who didn't know what song was coming up next, who were genuinely going, "Oh my God, they're playing Streets. I can't believe it." You know, so yeah, that was really, really refreshing.
Yeah, I guess. And by Tuesday, too, a lot of the outside fans or traveling fans, I guess, or whatever you want to call them, are there, too, like you guys, because you weren't there for Monday's show, right?
Right.
None of you, I don't think, were there yet, or you didn't go anyways to the show. And so fans are arriving and more people are sort of getting into town. It is a little odd probably to have I was just thinking, you know, if a concert was on in my own city on Monday and Tuesday night, it is kind of just a weird vibe to go to a big event. I mean, you still would go, obviously, because it's U2 and stuff, but just on a... And there's been shows on Mondays and Tuesdays. It's not like they're always on the weekend, but it does kind of feel like dull Monday, back to work, and then you go to a U2 show. It would be a little bit of a different theme, I guess. But anyways, I have word that Matt is on his way down from his chambers. I don't know where he's going.
Oh, no. Well, I hope he can find a quiet location because he's not stealing our one.
Yeah.
Interesting note about the general admission line. So the fans who have been flying in, they've been stationing themselves at the Starbucks in back of 3 Arena to run the GA line. So, you know, the first 100 people or so in the GA line are mostly international. So you think about some of the people, especially Monday night watching the show on Periscope, when I believe it was Josie from California got pulled up for meerkat duties, and the audience, you know, booed the fact that you pulled up a Californian. It's because the locals aren't able to join the queue
in the same way as all of us who are traveling, because they've got jobs, they've got responsibilities, and so on and so forth. And the GA line has been a check-in process. So, you know, every 3 or 4 hours, you've got to check in to make sure that, you know, you still have your spot in line. So if you choose to get a number, you basically have to live that type of a lifestyle. And most of the Irish folks here don't really want to be tied down like that. And so if you've got the people who are running the GA line doing that, you know, they're going to have all of the prime locations. So it'll be next to impossible for a local to get pulled up for Meerkat. And I don't see that happening on nights 3 and 4 in Dublin either, unless some miracle happens. You know, you've got people from all over who are just, taking care of the GA line in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the chat room, Fabiano mentioned that they were so happy to have a Brazilian on stage for the second Dublin concert. Every country has their
interesting story about that. Interesting story about that. So when the band showed up, if you're lucky enough and this podcast posts before Friday and Saturday show, the band has been showing up on the Liffey side of the building. That would be classified the south side of J entrance. That's where the band arrival area has been. And they've been very good about stopping and greeting fans who are part of the receiving line. If you're in GA, you have to leave the GA queue in order to go over to that neck of the woods. And so Syl, who many of us are familiar with, and her friend, I believe his name is Elijah, they were over there, and Syl has been begging for there to be some sort of pop song to be sung. And this is the same group of folks who were dressed up as the Village People for New York 8, who, you know, tried to convince them to do discotheque. So when he got pulled up, he was wearing a blue boxer's robe and the muscle shirt, looking like Pop Mart Bono. And so when Bono pointed at him and said, "I like your earlier work," you know, he was basically being playful with his Pop Mart self. And that was the nod to Pop Mart that they were able to provide to fans who have traveled far and wide. So who knows what is in store for Friday and Saturday, but that's a little bit of why I think he might have been pulled up, because they were chatting before sound check about stuff like that.
Nice. Yeah, it is. It's always interesting to see who, where, why. And he has, like, Bono and the U2 have to sort of know that if they don't grab a local, there might be some booze and whatever. And then if they grab the same folks over and over or whatever, they might be upsetting some other fans. And it's just like, I don't know how you can't please everybody. So you just got to do what you got to do.
And at the end of the day, it's Bono's decision. It's not like you've been ordained. It's not like it's been anything. And if he's not feeling the vibe, you know, it is up to him in that moment who he selects, and only him.
Right. That's what we touched on a little bit one time. I know, or last episode, I think we were talking with Mark Baker and just how that process goes down. And sometimes it's a little bit prearranged, but then, yeah, like you said, in the spur of the moment, he might just grab someone else. And it's not like you've got a contract to get up on stage or anything like that. It's, yeah. So yeah, it is what it is. And just got to enjoy the show no matter what happens, I guess. But I just wanted to mention before I'll probably forget, Fabiano reminded me, good help having Fabiano in the chat room. He's it's not midnight or wherever, whatever when we usually record. Tasula's birthday is also happening right now. Tasula of U2 at U2 fame. And she's over there in Dublin somewhere. I've seen her tweeting out pictures, but happy birthday to Tasula. Hope her birthday week is a fun one in Dublin. Lizeth, let's go to you. Any other comments on the show that you saw so far? And which shows are you going to be seeing yet? How many more are you seeing?
I'm going Saturday only. So, I think it'll be even better than Tuesday. So just hoping for a great finale to Dublin. And but I think they'll deliver. I'm pretty sure of it. So.
Is there, we got some fun static. See if that's, oh, that was Sherry, yeah. Ditch Sherry for a moment.
Is that Sherry making that noise?
Yeah.
I think she's tried to hide in the dart station.
That's probably not the greatest place to go for. I remember catching the dart when I was going from living in Dublin and staying in a hostel. Anyways,
Liz, yeah, I wanted to say.
Yeah, go ahead.
Was a nice touch from the nice touch of Bono to sing Namakitipa. I thought that French song he did at the end somewhere.
Oh right. Yeah, I was going to say, is there songs you're hoping that they'll sneak into the set just because they're in their hometown and something you haven't heard in a while that you're sort of hoping to hear?
Well, there's a long list I'd like to hear. So no, but a sort of homecoming would be nice. Well, would be very appropriate, but I don't think they'll do it. But
yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'd be happy with a lot of songs. So yeah.
Yeah.
No, sort of homecoming would be a very appropriate one. I think they did that last time in Dublin, didn't they? Or maybe not. I don't remember.
Any tips for fans who maybe have yet to make the trek over or maybe are about to or something like that for the next few shows who are listening or will be listening maybe on the plane as they travel over? Any tips or tricks that you've come across when traveling into Dublin?
I would say wear more than a t-shirt. I showed up to the first show thinking I was going to tough it out and that I would be the smart one by the time of the show because everybody else would be overheating in their coats, and figured I might survive in below freezing, driving rain outside of Three Arena. It was nice and warm when I left the hotel. By the time I got there, it was freezing cold, and I should know better, but... dress in layers, and layers that you don't mind if they get trampled inside once you tear down to your concert clothes.
I'm gonna try to sneak inside of the van. No, I can't. Can't do that.
But.
What is she doing?
Sherry's gonna be reported from the back of a from a police wagon, yeah. in a little while.
This is what I picture Sherry doing. This is my reminiscing of my first time in Dublin. Was I stayed at a hostel, and the hostel owner took me out to visit some pubs, and then he threw me in the back of a van with like kegs or whatever they're called over there, rolling around in the back, no seat, just me sitting in the back with the kegs. And that's our picture, Sherry reporting as she's getting flung around Dublin.
I will send you a picture of the van when we finish recording, and you'll just laugh your ass off, McGee.
Jeez.
Just tried Matt down.
We're currently recording the podcast. Do you have any the words of wisdom, boss man?
I have no words.
Yes, no words of wisdom. He's so tired. By the way, breaking news, word on the street. I was over at Hanover Key Studio earlier, found out Adam Clayton does not like tuna sandwiches. No word on what he does like or what the others do or do not like, but we can rule out tuna for Adam. Back to you, Chris.
Let's go over to Steve for the weather. No, we already got the weather update.
We already got the weather. We need Lisa for sports.
Yeah. anything happening on the soccer or football pitch today? So, Sherry, did you get how we need to know, though, is your source? Are you able to reveal a bit about your source? Is this like catering? Is this security?
This source was a fan who was outside with me, who happened to be around the studio many moons ago when one of the tech crew went out for sandwiches and brought back two bags of sandwiches to feed all the hungry masses inside the studio, then came back out a little while later because they could obviously see that he was still outside hoping to get an autograph or something, and offered him a tuna sandwich and said, Adam doesn't like tuna. Would you like his sandwich? And of course he said yes. So as reliable as that is, you know, you're in Ireland, you really can never trust precisely, but I have a good feeling Adam is not a tuna guy. Okay. So I think I think that that's a solid source.
Yeah, as Sean McGee in the chat room says,
I love tuna fish.
This is the kind of hard hitting journalism we've come to expect from At You Too. I'm guessing some relation there, maybe.
I'm surprised that Dallas didn't get it. You'd have figured Dallas would have had a tuna.
All right, we'll have to set up a new page on atu2.com of sandwich preferences for every member and crew of the band.
Apparently, yeah, instead of slash new album, it'll be / sandwiches. Exactly. It would just be a big grid of different sandwich flavors and band members, and like a plus or a minus if it's being confirmed or denied.
Myth busted. Yeah, that's great.
Sandwich corner.
Sandwich confirmed.
Go ahead, Liz.
Speaking of those preferences, I think Sherry and Steve went to the Irish Rock and Roll Experience as well. Did you see the U2 rider they had there? The whole, I think you put a picture up on Twitter as well about the whole, their requirements that they had or what they requested when they were performing somewhere. There was a whole list of alcohol. It was just ridiculously long.
Oh, I missed that. Where was that? Where is that located?
Backstage at the Irish Rock and Roll Experience. This is backstage. There's this a few photos of lists that bands have requested what they wanted when they were performing.
They did show that to us on our trip. Our tour guide was so into showing us everything about Thin Lizzy that he very rarely even touched upon anything to do with you two except for some of the pieces of recording equipment, and then he told us a story about how Eno almost erased the whole of Streets. But no, we didn't see that.
Yeah, it was like 75 liters of alcohol, and whatever. It was a long list. It was really. I hope they were throwing a party because otherwise.
I've got to say, if you want an entertaining experience, you have to go to a museum. Particularly a U2 museum with Sherry and go on a guided tour. Because then you basically have this sort of like, you know, it's like this fact off between the tour person who is, you know, earning their living by telling you obscure U2 facts. And then Sherry go, and actually the album that they, this song actually they recorded on this didn't actually show up for another 3 albums when it was actually re-released and renamed from Native Son to Vertigo. And the guys are there, they're going, okay, you know, it's almost like this sort of fight for the rest of the crowd. The crowd is sort of all gravitating towards Sherry. They'll go, ah, over here I've got Edge's guitar. And like, oh, they'll start edging back towards him. And it's like this battle of the wits.
Do they eventually just hand over their badge and say, okay, Sherry, you run the tour?
No, I'm very respectful about that, especially seeing as people, you know, paid good money. But, you know, if there's an added detail that got left out of the story, and if I happen to be there, I like to give people value for money. What can I say?
That you should hand out little cards for the podcast. Say, I'll fill you in more details if you listen to the podcast.
I'm saving it for the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Fabiano in the chat room says, Sherry needs to look for more information about the next leg. If it's true that they will wait until Songs of Experience launch to keep the tour going, which I know is a big...
If I tell you, I'll have to kill you. So I cannot say anything about anything about anything.
Yeah, it's much rumored and discussed. And obviously folks want to know, making their plans, Christmas plans to buy tickets for folks, etc. And
As usual, if it's not announced on U2.com, it doesn't exist. So until any kind of official word happens, we always like to remind people, do not secure anything until an official announcement is made. And what I am able to say is that there will be nothing announced before Christmas. Everybody's taking a Christmas holiday as soon as the pair shows are over with, and it's a much deserved holiday. They've been working their catuchuses off. And everybody's looking forward to just having some downtime. So do not expect anything prior to Christmas and New Year's, which also tends to make me want to tell folks, if you're holding out on resubscribing for U2.com because there might be a tour announcement or there might be something like that, do not lose your legacy status. Renew before your 30-day subscription runs out. at this point. And then there's a link in the Zootopia boards for people who had renewed but need the new renewal gift sent to them. They're starting to document all of those people. So do not let your subscription lapse. That's all I can tell you.
All right. Well, there you go. That's the annual episodic update on the membership and fan club membership and stuff, which, by the way, segue, the at U2 or U2.com fan site of the week happens to be a site we're all familiar with. At U2.com was featured and has a nice little write-up in there that we'll link to in the show notes, of course, that you can go read and hear all about at U2.com, which you already know about, but it's kind of fun to see. And Matt was nice enough to put a little plug in there for the podcast. So if you happen to be, this is a weird episode, if this is your first one listening, by the way, it's not normally this scattered or Skype-y, I guess, too. But normally we record weekly, Wednesday nights-ish, and with a few folks from at U2.com and chat about all things U2, of course. And so, but obviously with half our crew in Dublin or arriving in Dublin or whatever, en route to Dublin, the episodes are a little bit weird this week, next week, but it's fun with having U2 in town. So you guys were at the Zooropa tribute concert last night, right? Some of you. And how was that experience?
Steve actually periscoped most of it. Steve, do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, it was a fun show. Absolutely great tribute band. And really good musicians. And I got to say that Bono spends more of his time on the floor of the venue than he does on the stage. Giving regular Bono a run for his money with this, connecting with the crowd.
It must be because they're an Irish band, right? They play, or they're from Ireland?
Yeah, I think they're Dublin based.
Yeah,
they said three of them are from the north side, one is from the south side, which they claim makes them a little bit more balanced.
And is it a weird vibe seeing a U2 cover band in Dublin while U2 is going on? You know. Or is it just kind of fun night?
It's kind of fun. It's just sort of rags, right up there with all the other times we've seen. You know, the only times I've ever seen, almost only other times I've seen U2 tribute bands has been when U2's been in town. So it always amazes me just how up for an overdose on U2 music people are, and also how excited they get, because this is probably your only time to hear half of these songs perform live, because U2 are not going to do a 37 song set. And they played a sort of homecoming. What other songs did they play, Sherry?
It was genius about a sort of homecoming. They used that to as an intro to Streets, and the way that they did it was so clever that I'm like, why hasn't U2 thought of that? The Zooropa tribute band actually posted their set list on their Facebook page. So you can just look them up. And I think that I've tweeted about it as well. But the entire list of songs that they did was there. They did California. They did,
The First Time, I think.
Yes, The First Time. Yeah, we sang "Happy Birthday" to Tasula. It was just such a nice blend. And what was also interesting was the audience there knew every snippet that they were singing along to, and we were able to sort of identify, oh, the performance that they're giving us is the one from the Lovetown tour, or that particular version came off of the Slane Castle DVD. You could follow which version they were doing as a tribute band, which was also fun.
Yeah, definitely. That's the fun part on being on stage doing that kind of stuff, is like you have to all agree on which version of the song you're actually doing, because they have changed them over the years, obviously, in different performances and stuff like that. So I guess I'm gathering Matt is recuperating and will not be joining.
He is trying to get his Wi-Fi to work on his phone. He was asking me, how are you able to get Wi-Fi? I'm like, I just do. So he is trying to locate an area in the hotel where his phone does have Wi-Fi.
Okay.
Yeah. When I was
little does he know that we've all staged a coup.
There's actually pretty good Wi-Fi if you can see the center quad.
I heard Matt for a moment there.
Hello.
Oh.
There he is.
Hola.
Ready to go?
Recording live right now.
We are, yeah. So welcome back to the podcast, Matt.
I'm in the business center now.
There you go. Doing some business with the podcast.
Yeah.
You have not been to a show yet, right? You just arrived.
I just arrived
last night or this morning or whatever.
I have no idea. I don't even know what day it is.
You arrived this morning.
I did, right? Like at around 8:30 or 9 o'clock, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
He doesn't sound convinced.
Yeah, exactly.
What?
He doesn't sound too convincing of where he is. You spent most of your flight watching U2 concerts or something, is what I gathered from your tweets. You were...
did I watch? No, I didn't watch. I listened.
Oh, you were listening. Okay.
No. Maybe I did watch. I was watching The Slain. Yeah, no. I watched The Slain while I was doing stuff on my computer. Oh. I was actually... You know what I was doing, actually? I was updating U2 a diary just in case the publisher ever calls and says, you know, hey, it's time for edition number 3. So I'm just keeping my book updated in case that call ever comes in.
Ah, gotcha.
So, okay. I was working on that while I was watching the Slain DVD.
Nice. It's a good way to spend the flight. And you got, this isn't Matt's travel diary podcast, but it was interesting to see.
But it could be, because it was awesome.
Yeah, you got upgraded to business class for the...
Oh my gosh, business class. Yeah, I remember a month or so ago when I was... What am I looking at? Wow, this is the strangest thing. Anyway, sorry, yeah, a month or so ago when I was researching airfares and... publicly tweeting all my frustration with the coach class fares that were ridiculously high. The business class stuff was like $5,000 for the flight to Dublin, and I ended up getting upgraded to one of these $5,000 seats. It was insane. Oh my gosh. I'll never fly coach again.
Well, especially on that long flight too. That's a nice way to spend it, I would imagine.
No doubt. Chris, we wish you were here, by the way.
Yeah, I do too. I wish I was there too. That would be awesome.
Figure out a way to do that. Certainly, there's a podcasting fund somewhere that we can apply for.
And right. Yeah, I think there's the U2 podcasting fund. It's at the university there. If you just drop off an application, okay. Look at us.
Trinity College will take
care of it. Yeah, Trinity will take care of it all. You haven't been to anything, so there's no point in getting any updates from you on.
No, Sherry and Steve are the ones. And Lizeth, have you been to one of these shows?
Yeah, we heard from
going Tuesday. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Tuesday.
And so you're going to the next couple, Matt, right? You're both?
Yep. Yeah. 3 and 4.
Nice. And in the GA, or do you have seats? Where are you?
GA.
GA for both?
GA for both.
Very cool. All right.
So yeah, very, very excited. It's been 20 years since I've seen you two in Dublin. It's very emotional.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way I would imagine. And anything that you're sort of like keyed up for as far as the show song, you're just like hearing Streets, let's say, in Dublin with U2 or whatever is going to be the moment or anything like that?
I don't know. I've been trying to avoid the listening to the live streams lately because I don't want to like overdo it. So I'm just going to plan on enjoying the show. So all. That's all I'm doing. Because I think these will be my last shows for a while.
On this,
I mean, I'm not going to Paris. And if the rumors are true that they're not touring, what was the rumor that just came out? They're not touring next year until late in the year, or something like that.
Well, think about it. If Anton Corbin's correct in that the album isn't slated until September, there's no real reason to do anything until then.
Right. Wow.
But nothing's confirmed.
So that could be a long time. I know.
No, it's short, all things considered. It's only 9 months as opposed to 4 years.
But you know what the problem is? The problem is that when a 9 month delay becomes like, you know, a 2 year delay very easily with this band. So
it's very true.
That's the only thing I'm afraid of. So.
Have you, Sherry or Steve, I don't know if you would be able to sense this at all, but just with the crew, when it was announced that obviously the Paris dates, which is awesome that they're rescheduled and for December 6th and 7th. And obviously there's, I'm sure with HBO and stuff, besides just any sentimental and emotional reasons they wanted to reschedule, they probably had to contractually do something. But has there been any sense from the crew and stuff that like what we thought was going to be our last show in a couple of days, now we're gearing up again to go back overseas or back? Yeah.
They're trying to psych themselves back up for that. I think that there's a resilience about the crew that they want to do this for the fans. They want to make a statement. They're all pretty, unified in terms of that. But, to be told at the last minute that you've just lost 2 weeks of your Christmas break, on the flip side or a week of it anyway, that, it is what it is. And their determination and just the resiliency, they want to make this work and they want to make this happen. So, they're pulling out all the stops. They're going to make sure that it goes off. There is added security here at the venue that was in one of the local newspapers that they have plain clothed security officers who are packing heat inside of the arena here. They've beefed up the security detail around the band and around key management people. There is that sort of feel, but unless you're really looking for it, they've been able to make it seem very seamless and that, you wouldn't know about it unless it was reported in the press type of thing. So, they are taking little steps that will hopefully keep everybody A-okay.
That explains why when I just bumped into you downstairs, you had three bouncers around you.
Right. Sure. It is kind of funny thinking back and good, really, I guess, in a way of like going to Ireland from Paris being the safe route or whatever, like safer environment than, Paris or whatever, obviously for sad reasons. But as Bono mentioned, I think at the Belfast shows, like, look at what you've done, look how far you've come and stuff like that. And so it is kind of good in that respect, I guess. And I'm sure it will be an emotionally charged and intense set of shows in Paris. But I guess if the flip side is to what Sherry, what you're saying, like if there is rumor or they've heard maybe that there's no shows coming until much later in 2016, I guess then the extra couple of weeks is kind of nice for work and knowing that they're going to have longer holiday, I guess, in January, depending what they obviously where the crew disperses, et cetera. But yeah. All right, well, I don't want to keep you folks too much longer. I know there's more exciting things to do, like go sleep and stuff for Matt. And
thank you.
I'll mention to folks who are listening and maybe live, if they're on their way to headed to Dublin or whatever, there's the At You Two Dublin Visitors Guide that's been recently updated. And I'm sure any of the folks who are with the At You Two crew that are over in Dublin will respond when they can to Twitter tweets, questions, stuff like that as well.
Important to note, if you're coming over here thinking you can get concert merchandise, once they run out of a particular shirt or a particular sweater, they're not resupplying that. So on Tuesday's show, they were running out of particular sizes, and the people in the merchandise till said that once it's gone, it's gone. So if you're coming for shows 3 and 4 and thinking that, I'll wait until the last show to buy something, do not do that. If you see it, buy it. And in there's shops all throughout Dublin called Carol's Irish Gifts. And they have official merchandise. It's a black t-shirt with a light bulb that's got U2 Dublin 2015. It's got the copyright from Not Us Limited. It's got a tag on it saying official U2 IE merchandise. And they've also got a black t-shirt with the pop album art on it. And those are €20, which is about €15 cheaper than the U2 IE t-shirts inside of the venue. There are people who are hawking fake merchandise outside of the venue for 10 quid. you know, buyer beware type of thing about the quality, but they're also selling rain ponchos for $5, and they're selling Irish flags outside of the venue, and the ponchos aren't exactly the best material, so get them elsewhere as well. Just a little word of advice if you're coming out for the show Friday and Saturday.
Speaking of fake merchandise, I found a really cool U2 IE tour shirt on Amazon and bought it about a month or two ago, and never heard of the seller or anything like that. I knew it wasn't official. It was like $22 or $23, so it's reasonable for a T-shirt. And it turns out that the package, after I bought it, the pack, they send you the shipping notice and says should ship within the next 3 weeks. And I'm like, what on earth, 3 weeks? And the reason that it was taking so long is that it came from China. So definitely not an official shirt.
Wow.
However, I will tell you that it looks very cool. It's like super cool looking shirt, and I have it with me, so I'll try to wear it sometime this weekend. The only thing I'm worried about is that if it actually gets rained on, that it will disintegrate on the spot. Right. So we'll see how that goes.
So there's a chance of a topless Matt McGee at a U2 show.
That's right. I'll be the dork without a shirt on running around the GA floor.
Oh, I imagine in Dublin at the U2 show there's probably more than one.
Another topic, by the way, Chris, about merchandise. Not about a topless Matt, but about merchandise. Person after person who I've been speaking with, they've been asking us to do an article or to have an in-depth discussion or to find a graphic artist or somebody who can comment on the tour merchandise design and then compare that with some of the stuff that the fans have created to see if an independent person can tell the difference between if it was band approved or fan created, because it's the general opinion that the stuff that the fans have made have been much better than what Live Nation has been presenting to us as official merchandise. But, you know, that's for another time and another place.
Save it for the next podcast.
Yeah, exactly. That'll be we'll do a video version where we can do an A/B testing with somebody to see which ones are our quiz, I guess we'll do. But
we'll do like Sherry on the Street in Boston.
Yeah, exactly. Matt Fabiano in the chat room just before we go says, please be watching the Meerkat. He will try and get a message on there for you. So,
oh wow, during the Meerkat. it's so weird to do like on like this podcast is like the weirdest thing. Like I'm not at my computer. I don't have the agenda that you put together in front of us. I don't have the chat room. I'm just like
chatting agenda
on my phone. Yeah, there's usually an agenda.
We threw the agenda out after about 5 minutes when Sherry got into the back of a van.
I know, you should see where I took a photo of where she is. She's down sitting in front of this it's like this moving food truck that looks like it's straight out of Pixar. It's the strangest thing. The things we do for this podcast.
Right, exactly. At any moment, Sherry could be
whisked
away.
The gal on the street.
Yeah. Okay, folks, go around. Everybody, starting with Steve, will say, throw out your Twitter handle if folks want to follow along with your adventures in Dublin. What's your Twitter handle, Steve?
It's at CalebU2.
And Sherry?
U2com Sherry.
And Elizabeth?
Acrobat Girl.
And Matt?
Matt McGee, at Matt McGee.
All right, and if you want to follow along with my adventures shoveling snow, I'm like Chris on Twitter.
Yes.
That's almost as good. God. I periscoped me shoveling snow the other day. That was pretty entertaining, I think.
It was scintillating, let me tell you. I was worried that your phone was going to freeze and shut down.
Yes, Matt's revealed he's not heading anywhere north of...
Oh, my God. Yeah. I can't stand winter. I need sunny, warm locale.
Yeah. So you're in Dublin.
Dublin is not it, babe.
I know, right? What am I doing wrong here? Oh my gosh.
Well, there's no snow yet, so.
Yeah. That's true. Thank goodness.
All right. And folks, if you're following along, listening along, you can listen to previous episodes of the podcast, goodstuff.fm/ATU2. And the Twitter account for the website is twitter.com/ATU2. And we usually do answer questions from listeners and stuff for the show. So if you have questions for the next episode on Twitter, you can post them with #AskAtU2 and they'll get funneled into the next show. And I know you can also like us on Facebook, facebook.com/atu2com. I think that's it for this episode. We will enjoy the show, guys, the shows, and we will touch base again in a week or so when you're more jet lagged, probably, and even more tired, but it'll be a fun show. Okay, thanks for listening, everybody. Rate us up in iTunes if you're so inclined, and we'll see you again next time. Thanks for listening. Bye.